Jesus. Amen, amen. I know it has already been said, but I would like to encourage us that we normally, regularly, every year, we give a very good offering to move the mission. Our young, I keep wanting to say She's for Christ, shows my age. But our church regularly supports our young people and the youth ministry within our organization. This year, I do encourage people to give your giving, if you're able, through one of our young people. It all goes to the same spot. But helping our young people to be a part of that effort just encourages them. And it supplies a blessing both to you, to them, to our local church, to the district youth committee, to the youth events here in our district, and helps our national youth effort. It just goes a long, long way. Praise the Lord. I hope you'll be a part of that. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to the Word, Acts chapter 10. That's where I'd like to turn your attention. Beginning to read there at verse number 1. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Jumping down still in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." This guy's not a Jew, mind you. He's Italian. He's a soldier. God's not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Jumping down again, verse 44, to continue, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision," the Jews, if you will, "which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen, amen. Let me continue reading, if you will. Isaiah chapter 28, beginning at verse number 9. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. And finally, for my opening text, one more verse, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. My topic today, a devout man made perfect. A devout man made perfect. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even right now, Lord, your word, Lord, that it would touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would even put the right words in my mouth, quicken my mind, and, Lord, connect my mouth with your will, God. Let me say those things that are from you. Help us, Lord, to receive it. I pray your will, Lord, even to be done in this service. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing, or you can be seated. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We start out reading about a man that the scriptures identify as devout. Amen. They say he was a devout man. They say lots of really good things about him, and I'm going to go into that more and more. And then it talks about, or our scripture talked about in Isaiah, teaching knowledge, being learning doctrine, being weaned from the milk. It's implying that we should be growing in Jesus Christ, in the Spirit, in the presence of God, in God's ways. We should be farther down the Jesus path today than we were when we first learned of him. Amen. If you remain the same as you were when you came, it's not spiritually growing. Amen. I got to grow up in Jesus Christ. I got to further my understanding of him. I've got to learn of his ways. I've got to know the teaching, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen. And finally, from Proverbs, it talks about the path that is a light that is shown, that is shining upon our path. Amen. I used a little analogy, and I like it. It's a familiar one to probably all of us. But if you are shopping in town, the lights, the night has come and the street lights are on, or if there's a storm going on and the lights go out, it's a really dark road. I don't know, I live in Ledyard. It's away from the city lights. And when the street lights aren't on, or if there is no street lights where you are, it can be very dark. I mean, you could be standing by the road and hardly not even see the hand in front of your face. Where is the sidewalk? You know, how do I get from the car to the house if the lights aren't on? Well, thankfully, in my pickup truck, it has headlights. I turn those headlights on, poof, right in front of me, I can see where the road is. Now, my headlights don't shine all the way from the grocery store in Groton to my house in Ledyard. There's twisties and turnies and hills, and you gotta follow the path. If it was really dark and I had no headlights, it would be really difficult to get home. In fact, if you had no lights, you couldn't see the path. Almost certainly, you're going to go off the path. You're going to run into something. You're going to end up in the ditch. You're going to cause an accident. Something bad is going to happen if you don't have any light on your path. Amen. You see, this path is leading me home. Someone say home. I'm talking about my heavenly home. I'm talking about how to be with Jesus. I'm talking about how to make it to glory. I'm talking about how to be like Him. Amen. I need the light of the Holy Ghost. I need the light of Jesus Christ. I want to follow this path all the way home. I don't know all the ups and downs and turns and ins and outs. And I'm not sure about how this path is going to go that leads me to heaven. But I know I need God's light to shine on the path right in front of me so that I can stay on the path. I can stay on the road to salvation. Amen. I was talking with someone just earlier this week. There is no other path. It's unthinkable. It's not even, I don't even want to entertain the thinking of turning off of this path. For me, there is no other choice. It's the Word of God. It's what I need in my life. I want to follow it every day, all the way home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That light that lights our path. Maybe it starts out a little dim. Oh, you're getting a revelation. You know, the preaching is getting... I think that preacher just said something to me. Amen. I believe the Word of God is speaking to me. You know, having a conviction, you can feel the presence of the Lord. You hear the Word being preached. You see it in the pages of your Bible. There's a revelation and understanding. You are now knowing doctrine. You're receiving teaching. It's good stuff. You can see the road to heaven. Amen. God's favor is upon your life. Amen. We read the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 from the King James Version. But I found a couple other versions of that same verse that I believe is worth reading. It's same content in different words. From the Living Bible, Proverbs 4:18, it says, "But the good man walks along in the ever brightening light of God's favor. The dawn gives way to morning splendor." Awesome. A really dark night turns into day. Amen. But not in a moment, not in an instant. It's not bright noontime daylight all at once. No. It comes slowly, gradually. From the Amplified Version, that same verse, Proverbs 4:18. "But the path of the uncompromising, just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect to be prepared day." Amen. I tell you what, God wants to bring us all the way to glory. God wants to show us the path on how to get there one step at a time. God wants to take us there all the way to His prepared place. God prepared a heavenly place for us. It's already there. God made it Himself. And I want to go there. Amen. I hope you want to get there too. Praise the Lord. You see, God honors men, women, people who will walk justly and in fear of Him. He reveals to them future truth that they might walk in it and be saved. Amen. I am learning from the Word day by day. And it doesn't matter if you've been in this way for your first day. If this is your first day to know this truth, then God bless you. There's a great path that God has put you on. Amen. It's a wonderful day to serve the Lord. God honors that walk. God honors that faith. Amen. We got to keep on walking with Jesus Christ. You see, this place in Scripture that I started out reading about Cornelius, it was approximately 10 years that had lapsed between the day of Pentecost and the Acts chapter 2, and then Acts chapter 10, where we began to read today, when the Spirit was first poured out, day of Pentecost, to the time that Peter was preaching to the Gentiles in Caesarea, 10 years had passed. The disciples of Jesus Christ, they did not realize that the salvation purchased on Calvary, it wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for the Samaritans. It was to eventually include Uncasville, Connecticut. It was to the Gentiles and the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. It included me. It includes you. You see, the Jews at first, they confined their preaching to the Jews and then to those mixed Jews and not Jews, the Samaritans. And when Peter encountered a man named Cornelius, see, he was an Italian, he was a soldier, he was a Gentile, the eyes of the early church were opened. They were astonished. That is absolutely amazing. An Italian soldier just got the Holy Ghost. You might be amazed at who God can save. Amen. It is amazing who God can save. It's amazing. You see, the early church had their eyes opened. There was opened that there is now going to be an outreach that would incorporate all of mankind. See, everybody on the face of the earth is called to this message, to who Jesus the Christ is. Amen. This message is to all nations, all races, all kindreds, every people on the entirety of the face of the earth. Let's talk about Cornelius. His position, who he was. Cornelius was a Roman soldier stationed in Caesarea. See, the Roman Empire at that time was in control of that area where Jesus was, in Judea. And to control their interests, the Romans put their in strategic locations, they stationed what was called garrisons. Today we'd call them military bases. At strategic spots. Well, Caesarea was one of those strategic important places that the Roman soldiers were stationed. Cornelius was a soldier, and being a soldier, he was very familiar with authority. How authority works. Who has authority? And who gives authority? Cornelius was a Roman military officer, a centurion. A centurion is an officer that has 100 soldiers under his command. And he had a position of responsibility. He was also given authority with that responsibility. A man that was under authority, he could take orders. And he was a man that had authority, he could give orders to those that were under him. He understood the meaning of authority. You see, no matter how high a man may climb in respect or in authority, he must still be under the authority of someone. God ordained authority structure. God ordained in the church an authority structure. It is my personal belief, and I am almost certainly going to retain this thought until I die, until all my days are done. Everybody needs to have a pastor. Everybody needs to have a spiritual authority. Someone that can ask you hard questions. What are you doing and where you been? Where you going? How are you getting there? How are you prepared and what are you going to do? Amen. What's your thought and what's your intent? Amen. I thank God for men of God that I put trust in that will text me on my phone, how you been? I haven't heard from you. What's going on? Amen. Or pastors that will be willing to talk to me straight and say, you know, set you right in order. Amen. I need to be accountable. Amen. To godly authority. Amen. Now, I don't want to subject myself to ungodly things. Amen. But I do want godly authority. Amen. You see, a centurion of the Italian band, Cornelius, he was also a religious man. It is interesting. This is a quote by Warren Wiserby. He wrote a lot of books. He was a pastor in Chicago of a church that went from 800 to 2,000. He was very successful in his writings, and he was very popular in his religious circles. He had this quote: "It is interesting to see how religious a person can be and still not be saved." I find this thought fascinating coming from him. I looked him up on the internet, and he's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons. Many, many dozens of books, just prolific in authoring and preaching and teaching. And he was a Baptist preacher. It is amazing to me that he didn't preach Jesus' name. How? How can somebody that is so religious, so evidently careful in study of Scripture, so carefully authoring papers and books and sermons and being religious? I've determined I don't want to be religious. There is no benefit, really, in my mind. There is no substantial benefit in being religious. There's a whole lot of religious people in our world that are lost. I don't want to be lost. Man, I got to walk really carefully that I follow the truth. No matter what anybody says, follow the truth. The Word of God, what it says in the Bible. Find out what it says and do it. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Well, what is the power? The power is the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus, there is power for the remission of sins. In the name of Jesus, there is power to wash away, remit your sins. In the name of Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, there is healing. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is salvation. I cannot, will not ever deny the name of Jesus. Being religious does not get me there. I don't even really like being called religious. Oh, you're a religious man. Well, sort of. Maybe not like you think. Maybe not like the world thinks. But I do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Many good things could be said about the life of Cornelius. I don't want to put him down. In fact, I want to lift him up right now. I want to put him on a pedestal that we can look and see what God did with this devout man. The life of Cornelius was substantial. He was successful to a very large degree. And even the life of Cornelius before his encounter with the apostolic message was commendable. But being devout, all those good things that the Bible had to say about him is not enough to give him salvation. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to be devout. It's not enough to give alms, to give offerings, to be generous. It's not enough to rule your household well. Those are good things. It's commendable. It's a significant achievement. It's very good. But it's not enough. Acts chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. Get this now. Here's an Italian guy, a soldier, a centurion, an officer in the military. And he sees an angel at home. I tell you what, something really special is going on with this guy, right? He does a lot of really good stuff. He has a really good reputation. He's doing good things. He believes in God, prays a lot. He sees an angel at his house, which stood and said unto him, the angel is talking to him. Good stuff, right? Amazing. The angel says, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 14, this is a key point. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Woo-hoo! Celebrate. This really good man hears an angel say, send for Peter. Now, let's slow down for just a moment. A devout man. He was called in Scripture a devout man. It means, if you look that up, godly, pious, reverent. Now, caution here. Christians should not quickly or lightly condemn people who are living in all the light and truth that they have while awaiting greater understanding. Rather, we, you and I, should lead these devout people to the truth that saves, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm not downing Cornelius. I think it's admirable. I think it's wonderful that this Italian soldier, centurion, officer in the military, achieved that level, and he was religious and pious and devout, and he prayed always, and he was generous, and he kept his house, and thing after thing after thing was good in his life. And yet the angel sent him to Peter. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Cornelius really was, Scripture states, he was a God-fearing man. A devout man, verse number 2 in Acts 10. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house. It means he shared it with his family. Which gave much alms. He was generous and gave offerings. He gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. That means that was what, the way he lived his life. He was a giving man. The angel said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms, from verse number 4 in Acts 10, thy prayers and thine alms, get this, are come up for a memorial before God. God will not ignore your prayers. Cornelius was a praying man. He was able to get God's attention with his prayers and with his giving. Amen. He had God's attention. God dispatched an angel. Get down there and help this guy. Go down there and give him a message from me. Go down there and direct him to hear from Peter. Woo! Cornelius, he had been fasting. Cornelius had been praying when the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. It was 3:00 in the afternoon. For what was Cornelius praying? Well, if you look at what God told him, God answers prayers. God gives us what we're looking for. Amen. God helps us where we have need. This guy already knew to be devout. He already knew how to pray. He already knew how to give. He already had a good household. He had a lot of really good stuff going for him, but he needed to know how to be saved. What was Cornelius praying for? I believe to know more about God. I believe he was asking God, how am I to serve you? How can I please you? He was seeking a relationship with God. He was looking to be saved. He wanted, above all other things, to be saved. Does anybody in here want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? Do you want, above all other things, above everything else in the entirety of the world, do you want to be saved? Cornelius did. To know more about God, how to serve him, seeking salvation, an angel came to Cornelius. He, Simon Peter, shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. From verse number 6. The angel sent him to a preacher. To a person. Peter's message is about salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pick up that portion in Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." I think all preaching should lead to Jesus. If you're preaching about healing, it's in Jesus. If you're preaching about deliverance, it's in Jesus. Amen. If you're preaching about salvation, it's definitely in Jesus. You can go on whatever topic we need to hear and whatever topic can be preached on. Every single time, it should lead to Jesus. I don't know if there's anything else even worth preaching about except Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I left off in verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. We ought to include that in our message. He's one God. He is the God. Amen. Jumping down, verse number 43, Acts chapter 10, just skipping a few verses. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Amen. There is remission or forgiveness, removal of sins in Jesus' name. It is here that Cornelius and his household received the gift of the Holy Ghost. From the very next verse, 44 to 48, you see they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Prayer is so very important. If we are to know more about God and His ways, we must pray. If you'll pray, you'll stay. Amen. If you won't pray, guess what? You're probably not going to stay. Amen. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 9 and also verse 10, it says, "And I say unto you, ask." Someone say, ask. "And it shall be given you. Seek." Someone say, seek. "Seek, and ye shall find." How about knock? "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Here's the answer. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." You got to communicate with God. You got to pray, seek His face, know His ways, ask His will, do God's will. Cornelius' salvation. Cornelius was granted repentance. The angel, two things here I find very notable. It's worth recognizing these two things. The angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius. See, it's not given for angels to give this message. It is still a Christian to a sinner. It's not necessarily the evangelist to the saints. But it's a believer to a sinner. Evangelism. Yes. Amen. And the next thing that I find important is why Peter? Philip, the evangelist, lived in Caesarea. He was a preacher that lived in town. But Peter was called to travel 35 miles from Joppa to Caesarea because he had been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He was the one anointed by God to bring this message. Matthew 16 tells us that. But Peter, there's no way that he could properly boast in this responsibility. You see, he had done little, really, to get himself ready. He even, when he saw that vision of the unclean animals coming down on the sheet, "Not so, Lord, I'm..." He got told, "Rise and eat, or kill and eat." I forget what it was. But he was said, "Not so, Lord, I'm not doing that." You know what? God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. His message is the right message. Amen. He didn't even get to finish his sermon. While he was yet preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. He didn't even get to complete his sermon. And then when the Holy Ghost was poured out, what he did get to say was he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. When he saw what God was doing, when he saw that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, when he knew that God was come upon them, "You need to get baptized." He was bold enough to say it in truth, telling them what the Word of God commanded. It was right timing, right person, and together it accomplished God's work. This was the time, and Peter was God's chosen person to bring this message. Amen. Cornelius, he believed on the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It is way too common in our society that people think they don't need church, that they don't need the preacher. I tell you, it is by preaching that God chose to give this message. Amen. If you want to hear from God, if you want to hear the message that God wants to give to the people, if you want to receive from and with God's special anointing, you need to hear the preaching. Get yourself in the house of God where someone will preach this truth. Praise the Lord. Cornelius desired to believe on the Lord according to the Scriptures. That's an important part. People believe lots of different ways. And it's okay to believe, but what you believe is critically important. See, salvation is not by good works. It's not because you feed the poor, or not because you're generous, or not because you're polite, or not because you're good looking. None of that in the matter of salvation even really matters. By grace are ye saved through faith. We talked about that today in our elements class. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. There's nothing in me that made me worth it. Amen. But it was God that paid the price for sin at Calvary. Amen. And that gift was given to me. It's given to you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." To attempt to obtain salvation in any other way, by works, by hearsay, to say, "Oh, I've been saved for a long, long time," that doesn't mean you are. I've got to obey the scriptures. And got to live this life. Amen. In order to be saved. Salvation is to everybody. It's to all people. Yes, it was to the Jews first, but it also came to Cornelius, an Italian guy. Amen. You believe that? Even an Italian guy can be saved? Yes, I believe it. You believe it? A Native American guy could be saved? I believe it. Do you believe that you can be saved? I believe it. Acts chapter 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Salvation is not earning a wage. It's receiving a gift. Amen. Confessing sins, professing faith in Christ, proclaiming Christ, they are all really works of men. And those things in themselves do not save. Faith looks away from what we do to what Jesus did on the cross. Faith brings us to Him who died and rose from the dead, to Jesus. By faith we turn in repentance from our sins. We obey the command to be baptized. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command in the Bible. They obey, people who believe this truth will obey the command to be baptized. It tells us how in the name of Jesus. And it says, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. It is God's way. I tell you, the Word of God is still the plan of salvation. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. One verse tells us how to do it. It's a summary of the start of our salvation. The only way of salvation experienced and taught in the New Testament church is in Jesus' name. Amen. Cornelius heard the word. They were ready to respond to whatever God had for them. Amen. Peter preached, God is no respecter of persons. Declared Jesus the Christ. Told of His death, His burial, His resurrection. And immediately, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Cornelius himself, the Italian guy, received the Holy Ghost. Peter had not yet told them about the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. While he was still preaching in the pew, the chair, whatever they were sitting on, they received the Holy Ghost. See, when we exalt the resurrected Jesus, when we lift Him up, He will draw all people unto Him. Amen. Cornelius spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 11, Peter compared what happened in Caesarea to what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 11, verse number 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Just like the day of Pentecost. 10 years later, in Caesarea, the Holy Ghost is being poured out. People speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. Example after example in scriptures tell us about this. In fact, musicians, would you come? I want to read some examples, then we're going to close. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the New Testament church. It was what God was going to do for all of mankind. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. You cannot buy this. Saying, give me also this power that on whosoever I lay hands, I may receive the Holy Ghost. You know what he got? He got rebuked. Amen. We can't buy this. It's not for sale. But you can have it. Amen. It's for you. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That was Cornelius and his household. Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Amen. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I'm telling you, this truth, this message, this movement of God, this truth of the Holy Ghost is for you. It's for every one of us. Cornelius was baptized in Jesus' name. Immediately upon receiving these upon realizing what they just now realized, the experience that they had, that these Gentiles had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In conclusion, stand with me if you would. The kingdom of God is within reach of all people. This message is for every one of us.
Yes, it is.
This message overcomes religious and racial prejudice.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's for every person.
Yes, it is.
All people need to hear this message.
That's right.
Amen. It's for all of us.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Doesn't matter what you were.
No.
It's matter where you're going.
Right, right.
I want to stay on the path of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God's mercies are inexhaustible.
Amen.
If you are able to breathe, God can save your soul.
Yes.
Amen. Well, Pastor, you don't know what my past was like. Well, in that case, please don't tell me. I don't need to know. And God, He already knows. Just come on. Live for Jesus. It's time to get on the path of living for Him. Get on this way called truth. Trust, believe, and know that Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's the same truth today and tomorrow. It will never, ever change.
Hallelujah.
Would you lift your hands with me? Would you lift your voice as we sing, as we pray? You can come on up. This altar is open. Let's love the Lord together. Let's magnify Him. Come on, let's pray. Let's